Hello, and welcome to Catholic Women Lead, a podcast brought to you by Catholic Women in Business. I'm Elise Gallagher.
And I'm Taryn DeLong, and we're co-presidents of Catholic Women in Business.
Whether you're a working mom, a young professional, or business veteran, fitting work in between nap times and kid pickups, or discerning your next steps, Catholic Women in Business is a resource and community for you to grow professionally and spiritually alongside other women.
On this podcast, we're sharing tips, advice, and inspiration from leading Catholic businesswomen to help you grow your career or business faithfully. We believe in what Pope John Paul the Great called the feminine genius, and we're here to help you tap into yours and use business to make the world a better place.
Thank you for listening and enjoy the episode.
Did you know Catholic Women in Business has a new membership community? It includes a monthly mastermind meeting featuring an hour of learning and half an hour of breakout discussion and networking. As a member, you'll also have access to recordings of each mastermind meeting, access to a member business directory, exclusive podcast episodes, and more. As a podcast listener, you can get 15% off your membership. Go to catholicwomeninbusiness.com/membership and use discount code podcast for 15% off. That's catholicwomeninbusiness.com/membership and discount code PODCAST. Your community of faithful Catholic women in business is waiting. We'll see you there. Hello, Catholic Women in Business. This is Taryn DeLong. I'm here with Jessica Castillo from A Thriving Catholic. Jessica, thanks for coming on the podcast today.
You're so welcome.
Jessica, I'm a little bit familiar with you and your work, but for anyone who's listening who is not, could you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and your career and the work that you do now?
Yeah, sure. So I am the founder of A Thriving Catholic. My background is that I am a former Army officer. So I am a U.S. military grad from West Point. And so I served two combat deployments in Iraq. And when it was time for me to get out of the Army and start my family, I started trying to figure out what God wanted me to be when I grew up. And so I went through many twists and turns along the way, including a pretty serious battle with depression that really led me to embrace lifestyle modifications and lifestyle habits as a way of really increasing our capacity to do the work that God has created us to do. And also a very deep conviction that God has created each and every one of us on purpose and for a purpose, that we all do have a mission to fulfill. And so I became very passionate about helping other Catholic women find and fulfill their missions at the highest level possible. So I did become a certified health coach and started training as a Catholic life coach so that in my work with A Thriving Catholic, I can combine all of these aspects of body and mind and soul to really help women thrive and live that abundant life that God has created us for.
First of all, thank you for your service. You said that when you got out of service, you were exploring, you know, what to do next. Was entrepreneurship something that was always interesting to you, or was that something that kind of fell into your lap?
It really kind of fell into my lap. I didn't even know that coaching was a thing. I didn't know entrepreneurship was a legitimate thing that people did. I started and stopped grad school multiple times, mostly for things related to counseling and teaching. I was even working on a master's in chemistry. I really could not figure out what I was supposed to be doing when I got out of the Army.
I totally relate to that. I went through, not the Army part, but the exploring different graduate programs and careers. But it makes sense to me if counseling and teaching were things that you were interested in, that coaching might be a good fit. And I think it seems like a lot of women who get into something like coaching or even just entrepreneurship in general, it often seems to come from a personal thing. And so, like you said, you know, that you had struggled with depression. And so it's interesting to me that that seems to be kind of a feminine approach to entrepreneurship, that you see something in yourself or maybe in someone that you love, and then you want to kind of meet that need with your business.
Yeah. And actually for me, I think that I had decided that I wanted to enter the workforce again. I was actually at the library looking for books on writing my resume, which I hadn't had to do because I had been an active duty Army officer. And so I had dragged my three little kids with me to the library, and we were looking for, I was looking in that career section of the library, and my eye fell on Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek. And I remember rolling my eyes and thinking, yeah, right. Maybe if you're rich already, you can work 4 hours. By the way, I work way more than 4 hours a week now. But I was so intrigued by the concept. And so I picked up the book, and it's not a perfect book, and I don't recommend it for everyone, but it was the first book that really opened my eyes to this idea that you could create your own career path. And that maybe the reason I hadn't found something that I felt like really fit me or was the perfect fit for what I should be doing was because I needed to create my own thing. And so that book really just opened my eyes to the idea that entrepreneurship could be a thing.
I love that. I love the image of you with your kids at the library too. What is your, so now that you've discovered entrepreneurship and you've been doing it for some time, what is your favorite thing about being an entrepreneur?
I think my favorite thing about being an entrepreneur is how it uses so many different skill sets all at the same time. I never get bored. There's always a new problem to solve. There's always a new creative way to use my talents. I get to generate these ideas and then act on them. It's really cool to be able to create something out of nothing, really out of thin air. And so it feels creative. It feels interesting. I love building connections with people and relationships. So there's just so much in it that it feels like I was made to be an entrepreneur, and this is probably why I wouldn't have been happy in any other career field.
I love that you said it's creative, because so often we think of like artists or writers or musicians as like the creative people, but entrepreneurship is so creative. You're coming, I mean, I don't know, maybe you didn't, but I imagine like your programs, your courses, the things that you do are all things that, you know, you had to think up yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. I love all of the ideas. In fact, you know, I think one problem that many entrepreneurs have is that we have too many ideas. And so that's kind of one of the challenges, is trying to figure out, okay, which idea is what I run full steam ahead on right now, and which idea needs to be shelved until another time. Because of course, as an entrepreneur, I'm like, I want to do all of these things today, yesterday. I want to do it now.
Yeah, we're limited by time and energy and money. So it's definitely a challenge. What would you say is the most challenging thing about being an entrepreneur?
I think one of the biggest challenges that I've experienced and that I want to really help other entrepreneurs navigate is this kind of, we start believing these lies of the hustle culture, where we start believing that everything in our business depends entirely on us, that we just need to work harder, grind more, stay up later, make more sacrifices. And then really we start making kind of an idol of our business. Mm-hmm. And it consumes our waking thoughts, or it can consume our waking thoughts. We might find ourselves even sitting in mass calculating sales conversions, or we're just constantly thinking about our business. And what happens is we just take our eyes off of Jesus. And I really think for a lot of Catholic entrepreneurs, we didn't start our businesses because we wanted to make a lot of money, or we wanted to work a 4-hour work week, or we wanted to do, this wasn't why we started our business. We started our business because we wanted to use our gifts and our talents and our abilities to serve God and others in a way that made our life meaningful and purposeful and really mission driven. And I think that the biggest challenge of entrepreneurship is being able to keep up with all of the demands that come our way and what it does require both mentally and emotionally to keep going as an entrepreneur, while at the same time recognizing that our ultimate success in our business or in our lives, it really doesn't depend on us at all. It totally depends on God. And so learning that radical trust and dependence on the Lord, even while we have to be taking action and doing work.
You said so many good things there. The first one that I wanted to draw out is that you said that too often we make an idol out of work. And I know that's something that I've done myself. And I think it's easy to miss, because when we think of idols, we think of, you know, more obvious things like social media or, you know, alcohol or, you know, these vices that we all have that we know we can look at and say, I have a problem with social media, I'm spending too much time on it. But something like work, especially when it's work that you really believe God is calling you to, it is meaningful and makes a difference to other people, it's so easy to get caught up in that and then realize, like, eventually realize, oh, that's taken the place of God. I'm no longer doing the work God is calling me to do. I've turned that work into my God. And mm-hmm. at that point, I mean, obviously it's bad for you spiritually, because anytime you're placing something above God, that's bad. But it's bad for you physically. It's bad for you mentally, emotionally. I mean, that leads to burnout. And that's something that I've experienced. And I think probably a lot of women listening have experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, that's one of the things I'm most passionate about helping Catholic entrepreneurs in particular overcome, is this burnout in business. And how do you avoid burnout while at the same time seeking to excel? Because I think many entrepreneurs, we have this desire and this drive to be excellent. We want to be the absolute best that we can be at the work that we're doing. And, you know, not just our business work, but also our vocations in our family and maybe our volunteer roles and all of these different aspects of our life. We have this desire for greatness. We want to be exceptional. And I think that that is such a good desire. And I think that there are really healthy ways that we can both nourish and foster that desire for excellence while at the same time protecting against and preventing burnout, so that we can be in this for the long haul, so that we can actually do the most good in the world with our businesses and really make the impact that we were meant to have in this world, because we don't burn out and fizzle out in a couple of years of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I love that, because it is a good desire. Like, our ultimate goal, our ultimate ambition is to be a saint, right? To be with God in heaven. And that's a really great thing. That's an amazing thing. And so we have these desires that he's made us with to do great things and to be something great with him, with his help. And yeah, I think that's where I know I trip up. And I think a lot of women that I've talked to trip up as well, is that we tend to get self-reliant and I have to do it all myself.
Yeah, I think that it's one of those things that we have to constantly relearn. It's kind of a constant turning back. What I have noticed for myself and for other women in business I know is that it becomes a little bit quicker to notice when you're off, when you're starting to sink. You know, I always think about that image of Peter walking on the water. Mm-hmm. And he said to Jesus, Lord, bid to me that I come to you on the water. So he basically told Jesus to tell him to get out of that boat and come to him. And I feel like we do that too. We're like, Lord, please, if this is your will, tell me to start a business. And he says, okay, start a business. Keep your eyes on me and start walking. And we get distracted by all of these waves and the wind and how hard it is. And I think once we have taken our eyes off Jesus and we start to sink a little bit, I think what ends up happening is we get better and better at noticing when that's happening, when we're starting to sink, when we're off path, and it becomes like a quicker course correction. Then we can, you know, maybe we're veering off the path and then we recognize we're walking in the thistles and weeds and we get back on the path quicker. And so I think that what do I know? I'm not a saint yet, but I think that until we're saints, this is going to be the constant journey that each of us are on, that we're always going to veer off and come back. But God willing, over time, we walk less off the path and more on the path.
I love that scene from the Gospels and that image of Peter walking on water and then stumbling because he takes his eyes off of Jesus. But I think we can see that, like, throughout Scripture. You can see, I mean, the Old Testament is just one story after another of people turning away from God and then coming back to him and then turning away from God. And I think the hope there is that God always takes them back. And he, not only does he take them back, but he seeks them out and he pulls them back. And I think, and then obviously he sent Jesus to finish the job, really. So that gives me hope for myself and hopefully for anyone listening as well.
Yeah. And to recognize that you might not have it all figured out, and it will be probably a life it will be a lifelong journey, and that's okay.
Yeah, for sure. So what, because you talked about, you know, kind of getting better at noticing and then course correcting. And I think that's a skill, right? It's a skill that you build. So when you're working with a woman, with an entrepreneur, how do you help her learn to do that?
I think to be honest, the Holy Spirit is the best teacher. And I think that what I try to do with the women that I coach is really create the conditions so that encounter with the Holy Spirit is happening on a very regular basis. And so it's not me telling them they've taken their eyes off Jesus. It'll be the Holy Spirit convicting them. And so what I work with my clients to do is to build habits of body, mind, and soul that enable them to really perform at their best, to increase their capacity for excellence in each of these areas. And so when we talk about building habits of soul, we talk about creating a rule of life that, you know, is prayerfully discerned. How do you discern your rule of life, which is basically your plan for prayer, your plan for growth and holiness? And we take it seriously. Like, how do you plan for growth and holiness? And so I feel like my job is to kind of facilitate creating the plan, dealing with mitigating obstacles, both practical and in mindset, that prevent you from actually fulfilling your plan, and really creating that space of encounter where in a person's life, they're having multiple touch points where they're constantly growing and deepening in their prayer. So we're trying to really focus on growth in virtue and growth in these habits of holiness that lead them closer to God and closer to the Holy Spirit. And then beyond that, it's out of my hands, because I feel like from there on, the Holy Spirit's going to guide them where they need to go. I don't know the answer for what's the next thing they need to do in their business. And I don't know the answer for what's the next right step in their life, but I know that God does. And so I feel like I just want to facilitate that encounter as much as possible.
Ask you a little bit more about the rule of life, because I know that that's not necessarily something that everybody's familiar with. And we'll include links for women to get in touch with you if they want to work with you. But I know when I first heard rule of life, it was in the monastic context, that, you know, the religious brothers and sisters, they have a rule of life that they live by. What are some of the things that a laywoman might include in her rule of life that you would create with her?
Yeah, so I kind of make a little bit of a distinction between a rule of life and a plan of life, which can sometimes be called a plan of love. So when I think plan of life, plan of love, that's more specifically growth in holiness, growth in virtue, kind of your prayer plan, if you will. Whereas a rule of life might encompass all of the various aspects of your life, including what you're doing to take care of your body, what you're doing to take care of your family, what you're doing to take care of your home when you're working. And so what I like to start with my clients is basically a grid of an ideal weekly schedule. And we get really practical about building habits and building routines and rhythms. And where do all of these things fit into your quote unquote ideal week? And really, when you create these ideal schedules, they basically do become your rule of life, which is really just the structured way that you're living each and every day with intentionality. And becoming faithful to that rule of life is really that, I mean, that's a growth in skill itself, but it enables you to have so much more freedom and so much more space, because you know that there's a time and a place for everything that's really and truly important in your life. So it's a little bit of time management and productivity principles meets faithfulness to your vocation and what it is you need to be doing in your vocation to be fulfilling it really well. And one of the things I think about is how St. Teresa of Avila in the Interior Castle talked about people who are advancing in the spiritual life and advancing into, you know, the further interior parts of the castle, that they managed their households well. Like, that's an attribute of people who are advancing in the spiritual life. And I think, yes, we should be managing our households, our businesses, our finances. These are all things that we grow in skill of managing as we take even more seriously this life and this vocation that God has given us.
That's so great, because I think we tend to think of someone like Teresa of Avila as like, well, she just prayed. But I mean, she was a leader. She was an incredible leader. And she had all of these practical things that she had to do. And those weren't distractions from her calling. They were part of her calling. So I love that you made that distinction about the plan of life encompasses all of it, because I mean, I'm a mother. I have a child, and I can't just say like, I'm going to go to adoration every day. I mean, maybe I could, but I have to think about like the little person who needs me to take care of her. I have to think about my husband and what I need to do to make sure that, you know, our family is doing well. And those aren't just like Teresa of Avila had these other responsibilities that weren't distractions from her calling. Those aren't distractions from my calling. And that's not an excuse to never go to adoration or to never pray, but it is a reminder that I have a full life with lots of things that God has given me to do and people to be with. And it's all part of the same thing. I'm one person. We talk a lot about integration at Catholic Women in Business and on this podcast. Yeah. And I am a Catholic, yeah. I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a business leader, and I'm all of these things all of the time. And I mean, you said that you were a health coach and a life coach, because you can't really just focus on one part of life. It's all integrated.
Exactly. Yeah. In fact, one of the things that I felt very strongly about when I formed A Thriving Catholic was, if it wasn't always body, mind, and soul, if I wasn't helping my client in each of these areas to grow, that I would consider that I had failed in my mission. So if I helped a client lose a ton of weight, but they were still far from God, I would feel like that was not accomplishing the mission I set out to do with that client. So it wouldn't be fulfilling what I feel like God has placed on my heart to do.
So how do you make sure that you are thinking about all of those things when you're like, let's say you have a client who comes to you and maybe she is, you know, focused on losing weight and, you know, being more physically healthy, which is a great goal. You know, physical health is a gift. It's a wonderful thing to work on. How do you make sure that you and your client are both kind of keeping that bigger picture in mind?
Yeah, I think it's a few things. Some of it is, of course, as a coach myself, I rely on the Holy Spirit to guide me to what a person needs most. So sometimes I might be sitting down with a client and I might not know before we start the session exactly what they need in that session. I always pray. I always start a session with prayer, and I kind of let the Holy Spirit guide me a little bit in what we need to be focusing on and talking about. And of course, it's kind of a back and forth. So the client will sometimes bring something to me, and we really go from there. I think that the way that I make sure that it's always incorporated and integrated is that for myself, I never lose sight of that bigger picture. And I try to be really in touch with where the Lord is leading that session, so that I make sure that we're accomplishing what will really be the most impactful for that person in that session. Because sometimes they need to talk about processing the death of a relative more than they need to talk about eating more vegetables. Sometimes they do need to talk about their gut microbiome and how we're going to remedy it. So it really kind of, I like the way I think about it is, I have this ginormous toolbox, and I have so many tools in there that can help with so many different aspects of your life. I can help with your sleep or with your gut microbiome or your brain health or your hormone health. I can help with your productivity and your time management and your mindset. And I can help with strategies for praying the rosary and how to do Lectio Divina and how to do. So I like to think about it as, okay, here's my toolbox. This is what I have to help my clients with. And we just sort of go from there. What does this person in front of me right now need most? And what's going to help lead them the best today to be that little bit closer to the saint version of themselves that's also healthy in mind and body?
One thing I did want to go back to, because I know we talked a little bit about burnout earlier, and I know that's something that you work with women on. And I think as Catholic mission-driven entrepreneurs, we might be especially prone to burnout because of, well, like we talked about, because of making an idol out of work, but also just having that kind of drive and that kind of passion about your work can be a recipe for burnout. So if you have a woman come to you who is really feeling burned out, or maybe you can just speak to a woman who's listening, who's feeling really burned out with her work, what's your approach to that?
I would say the very first step is always to take a giant step back and try to put in some bigger picture perspective here, recognizing that everything in your business and your life does not depend on you. And I think about that verse from the Old Testament where God said to the Israelites, I am your God and I will fight for you. You only need to stand still. You only need to stand still. And I think sometimes we forget that as entrepreneurs. We think everything relies on me. I have to push, push, push. If I'm not grinding, I'm failing. And I think that it's an invitation to deeper trust. And I know a lot of people this Lent are going to be going through the Hallows Challenge for Father Walter Chiswick, He Leadeth Me. And I remember when I read that book, a very pivotal part of it for me years ago was that point where Father Walter Chiswick, who was very strong, who was very capable physically, he was in prison in Lubyanka, he had this realization that all of his struggle and all of his trying, you know, all of this striving that even he was still doing while in solitary confinement in prison. So we're not immune from striving wherever we are. He recognized that he could just lay back into the arms of God and just relax, kind of like when you're floating on water and you would just lay back and float in water instead of struggling in the water. And I think that that's kind of the first step for a really burned out Catholic entrepreneur is to recognize the world is going to keep spinning if you just put this down for a second and take a step back. And it's okay to do that. Beyond that, the next thing I would start focusing on are the physical habits, because so many times what we've started doing without realizing it is we've started skimping on sleep. We've started eating bad food at our desks. We're constantly stressed out, so we're not managing our stress well. We're not moving our bodies enough. We're not taking care of our gut microbiome. We're not taking care of our brain health. We're really just not taking the proper care of our physical bodies. And that's kind of the next step, because that's what I consider the low-hanging fruit. When you fix some of these things and start taking much better care of your body, what happens as a natural consequence of that is the inflammation that you've been experiencing goes down. Your ability to manage stress goes way up. Your mental clarity, your ability to focus and think clearly and thus be more effective in your work goes way up too. And then simultaneously, as we're building these habits, we're taking care of your body. Well, we need to get a grip on that rule of life. We need to get a grip on your schedule and your ability to manage your time. And that comes down to prioritization. What's really important, what's causing the most results in your business and in your life and in your family, what's the biggest bang for your buck? Well, we got to focus on those priorities and we make sure that those things are happening. And again, that requires discernment. That requires being plugged in to the grace of God. Plug into God like a socket and let His grace flow through you so you know this is my priority. This is where I need to be focusing on. And so the remedy for burnout as a Catholic entrepreneur is to recognize that you've got these three channels of strength flowing into you from God, from your spiritual life there, from your physical body that can be a source of energy and strength from you, and from these habits of mind and just skill sets of productivity and of managing your mind and managing your thoughts. So all of these things can flow together, and we just have to be strategic about how we make sure that we're getting each of these components in our life so that we really can serve with excellence and increase our capacity to be the absolute best we can be for the long haul.
That's good. Thank you. And we'll include links to that Hallow Lent Challenge and the book. That book has been on my list for a long time. I really need to read it. And we'll also include links to Jessica's website and social media. But Jessica, where can people find you? And is there anything going on in your business that you want people to know about?
Yes. So I am on Instagram and Facebook at A Thriving Catholic. My website is also athrivingcatholic.com, which is pretty easy to remember. And I am in early, so if this is in April and May that this is coming out, I am launching the next iteration of my group coaching program for Catholic entrepreneurs, mission-driven peak performance, where we really systematically focus on building all of these habits of body, mind, and soul into your personalized rule of life, so that you can be a thriving Catholic entrepreneur.
Thank you so much. We will link to all of that in the show notes. And Jessica, thank you so much for being on Catholic Women Lead today.
You're so welcome.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Women Lead. We hope you feel inspired in your vocation as a Catholic woman in business. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend or colleague. And don't forget to rate and review our podcast on iTunes. You can also join us on Instagram at Catholic Women in Business or in our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/Catholic Women in Business. Until next time, we'll be praying for you.